Great, so welcome. I'm so glad you guys made the time to come out for this. I know it's not normal Sunday evening, but so welcome for that. And no matter if you're here just to sort of learn how to become a better parent, or if you're here just to get away from the kids, I'm just glad you are here tonight. You know, just like Andre said, maybe we should have put beds out the first week just to get everyone some rest. But, you know, the fact is parenting is tough, right? It's not easy. It's something that takes a lot from us. Well, for anyone who wants to do it right anyway, it takes a lot. Tonight, how many of you can just say, you know, parenting has changed my whole life. Since I had a kid, my whole life has completely changed. Well, you know, good. You know, because let me tell you, that's the point. That's the point, you know. So that's very good. Especially new parents who've realized, you know, when you get a new baby, or the ones who are going to get a new baby, suddenly you have this little thing that you know nothing about. I mean, I knew a lot about a lot of things, but when we got a baby, the first one, it's like, I don't know what to do. You know, this thing doesn't have a volume button, you know, just can't turn it down. It's like, I don't know, where's the reset button, you know, it's like, it doesn't work like that, you know. It's like, what happened to my life? How do you handle this? Because it's something you know nothing about. And especially, how many of you have young kids tonight? You know, just like under 7. Yeah, see, that's great. So good, because, you know, that's what we want to talk about. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to start with the encouragement, because the good news is, especially if your kids are young still, you know, under the 7-year kind of thing, there's still a very great chance of pressing the reset button in a certain sense. I want to encourage you by that. So you say, if my kid's over that, you know, so no chance for me. No. I want to tell you, there's always hope. That's a good thing. Because why? We're dealing with a God who is almighty. We're dealing with Jesus Christ. And because of that, you know, there's always hope. And I want to encourage you tonight that there is always hope. Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And so he also said in Romans 8, 28, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I want to encourage you with this scripture tonight, because, you know, God didn't punish you by giving a child. You know, sometimes it may feel like that. God didn't punish you by giving you that child. Do you know that? Because all things work together for good. And all things includes family life. It includes your children. Now, and the thing is, I want to ask you again, we've been dealing on the scripture a lot lately. Do you believe that? All things work together for good. That's a huge thing to believe that, because that means my marriage, my life, my family life, my parenting, everything is included in that, all things to work out for good, especially parenting. Because Romans 8:28 tells us that it's your calling according to God's purpose. Those who are called according to God's purpose, all things work together for good. And that's really the thing that we want to start looking at tonight in this first session. Is, if you're taking note at all, calling, you know, we want to look at God's calling in parenting. And this will be obviously the first of three studies that I hope will be a number of things. First of all, I hope these studies will be scriptural. Because let me just tell you, I don't have this vast experience in parenting to give you any of my ideas. This is not about my ideas on parenting, and I want to sort of tell you what my ideas are. I don't have any ideas. I want us to look at the scripture, because the scripture is where we find the things that work. So I want you to very clearly understand, it's not me trying to push some kind of thing on you that should not be that. It should be scriptural. It should be biblical, because my take can just be my take. Even if I had 14 kids and I had all this experience, it will still be my take. Where the thing is, if we look at God's word, his ideas, God made people. He made people to have kids. And for many different reasons that we're going to look at, and he gave us a manual how to do these things. And so that's really what we're going to look at. We want to look at God's word. So my first hope is that it will be scriptural in that sense, because 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It means it's God breathed. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and the woman of God is included there, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Parenting is a good work. And so this scripture is given to us that may equip us for every single good work. And since parenting is a good work, you know, the scripture is how you get equipped. Secondly, helpful. This will be helpful. At the end of the day, if you don't go home from these three parenting studies, you feel like I've learned something about what God expects me to be as a parent, you know, then it's useless if it's not helpful. So we want it to be helpful. Because the world has many ideas, psychologists has many ideas, You know, none of that is really ultimately going to help you. You can read many, there are many courses on parenting. This is not going to be one of those things. This is going to be, we're going to look at the scripture and what the word says. We're not here to talk about man's ideas. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful. So never forget that. That's why we want to give our kids scripture. And we're going to go through a lot of practical scriptures, specifically next week, when we're going to speak about discipline. And a lot of practical scriptures that you can use as a parent in your parenting, that you can actually use with your kid. And it's the word of God is what is powerful in living in any life that hears it. So it's breathed by God. It's powerful in any situation. And thirdly, the plan is that this is practical. We want to make it practical. So afterwards, I'm going to ask Ridri to come up and we'll do some questions, answers. If there's anything that you feel like, and please feel free to ask any questions that you have. Not that we'll be able to answer everything, but we want to look at the word. What does the word say? What would you do in a situation like that? Because it has to apply to your context of your life. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't make sense at all. So Psalm 128, let's just look there as we start this. And I just want to go to the Lord and pray and just ask Him to bless this time. Heavenly Father, I just want to just, your word, Lord, is what gives us life. And I want to pray, Father, may you impart your word to us. What we need, Lord, we sit here tonight because we desire to be godly parents. We desire to leave a legacy, Lord, and to be what you made us to be. And Father, you've given us these great gifts, these children, and even those who are preparing for parenthood. Father, and I want to pray because it's only you who can do this in us and through us. Thank you that you've given us these lives. Thank you that you've given us these kids, that you have determined this for us because you love us and you want to grow us. And so, Father, I want to pray above all things now for your Holy Spirit as we read your scripture, your word. Father, may you speak to us and may we know you in this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Psalm 128, a short psalm, but very applicable. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So tonight we want to look at, first of all, the calling of parenting. And you can, the first number under calling is also the calling of parenting. You can write that down. So I wanted you to understand tonight that if you are here as a parent, then you are called to be a parent. That is very foundational and very practical to understand. If you are a parent, you are called to be a parent. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make any mistakes. And by the way, no one else got you there, right? It was your decision. Whether by sanity or insanity, it was your decision that made you a parent. And so that was something that God knew was going to happen. He ordained that. And I want you to understand. It's a calling of God to be a parent. And so with that calling, the second thing that's important to understand is it's your responsibility. It's your calling to be a parent to those kids. And secondly, is your responsibility. Those are the two overarching basic things in the foundational understanding of parenting. Before God, your responsibility. So you don't stand accountable to anyone else, not even to your parents-in-law. You stand accountable before God, what you do as a parent, you know. And in that sense, there's no undo or delete button. There may be some kind of reset at this stage, but there's no undo button. This is the kid that you have. You are responsible for that, and you're responsible before God. And it says that first verse there, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. This is the foundation, because as Proverbs 9 verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I want to tell you, if you don't fear the Lord, and I want you to make this personal tonight, because we're not talking about some concepts that you just have to agree with, like, oh, I agree with the fear of the Lord, but I want you to understand your own life. If you don't fear the Lord, your life will be hard. It will be confusing. Your daily life, your family life, the choices that you got to make, your marriage, all those things will be hard for you if you don't first of all fear the Lord, because that will be the context that you see everything else in as a parent that God has given you. So parenting will be hard and make no sense to you, because on the other hand, what do you find? It says there, blessed. You'll be blessed. That's the difference, because if you fear the Lord, the idea is blessing. Like I say, God doesn't make mistakes. God planned you to have those kids for a specific reason, because he wants to bless you. And so everything is sort of caught up in that, because what's the result is that blessing in marriage, in parenting, in life. And if your starting point is loving God and fearing God, you won't struggle to understand, first of all, your calling. Because then you know, I fear the Lord. He has a calling on me as a parent. This didn't just happen. It's not like, oh man, look where I am. Now a parent. No, no. This is a calling of God. God designed. And secondly, you end up trying to dodge your responsibility if you fear the Lord. So the fear of the Lord is the overarching principle. Understanding that you, being married to that specific spouse, your husband, your wife, that's God ordained. God knew that you're going to marry that person. And so that's all God ordained. Also, having those kids, your specific kids or kid that you have, that is God ordained. God gave you those kids for a specific reason. You know, the stork didn't deliver at the wrong address kind of thing. There's nothing like that. You know, God gave you the responsibility for that reason. And I believe understanding your calling as a parent, that changes everything, how you're going to see parenting and how you're going to approach it, because it changes your outlook on parenting. Because if you see your child as a blessing, you're going to treat them as a blessing. If you see your child as an issue, a problem in your life, you're going to start treating your child like an obstacle or a problem in your life. Or if you see your child as something that steals your time, you're going to treat your child as something that steals my time. You see, so that's all. If you understand your calling and your responsibility under God, then all these things sort of fall into place. Psalm 127 verse 3, just the previous psalm, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And there'd be many days where you as a parent want to pull out your hair and you say, it doesn't feel like anything like a reward, never mind, it doesn't feel like a blessing. That's part of the process we're going to talk about a bit later. But it's a blessing, because if you see your kid as a problem, it's going to involve the way that you speak to them, that you treat them, and you'll start to ignore them and leave them alone. You'll start to try and live your life around them so they can just go on, you know? That's what you're trying to do. And what the Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 15, a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. A child should not be left to himself. Are we talking about small kids now specifically? A child should not be left to himself. And so knowing that you're called by God will bring you to understand that your child is your responsibility. And that's also important. Your child is your responsibility. No one else's. It's not the daycare parent. It's not the teacher. You are the parent. That calling is for you. It's not for someone else. You are given that responsibility and that calling before God. And because it's a blessing from God, you'll see it's an awesome responsibility to bring up this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. It's a privilege. And then when that thing clicks, that you are the main tool that God has chosen to build into this kid's life, to form him to be what God wants him to be, then again, it changes everything. Because now you're going to see yourself differently when you saw yourself before. It's about God. He gave you that kid to raise, and he wants you to be the tool that's going to form him. And like I say, especially in the initial first few years, it's not like a set date. It's not like something that I came up with like 7 years. That's a normal kind of age where kids sort of go to school when they turn 7. In the Old Testament, it would be the kid would be with his mom, you know, during that first time. And then when he's over that, then he would go and start learning from his father. That would be a typical thing. So it's not like, it's the same with the age of accountability. It's not like at that age your kid has accountability. It differs for different kids. Just like some kids are ready to go to school earlier kind of thing. But that first few years, you know, specifically in that time, you are the main tool to build into your kid's life. Ephesians 6:4 says, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. That means the nurture and the instruction. Because, like I already said, the fear of the Lord is where it starts. And what does the fear of the Lord look like? Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Colossians 3:20 says the same thing. It says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's an echo of Exodus 20, where God gives the fifth commandment, children should honor their parents. That's part of God's law. And that sounds great, right? He's like, well, if that was just like that in my house, if my kids would just honor me, you know, it sounds like a fantastic idea, you know, honoring parents and all that. But I want to tell you, if you don't fear the Lord, how can you expect your child to do that? How can, it's sort of a hypocritical thing, because if you don't honor God in his word, what he says, fear me and take this as a calling, take this as a responsibility, then how do you want your kid to do his part? You are the one supposed to lead him in this. And so if you don't fear the Lord, you can't expect your child to do that. And if you don't take up your calling as a parent, you know, how can you expect blessing as a result? And that's really the issue. We know I've got a lot of parents at the moment, a lot of new parents. And my heart is to, I don't want you to lose out on blessing. This is not about, there's one way to do it, but this is about, this is God's, what he's saying. And if you do it God's way, there will be blessing for you as parents. The second thing that you can write down is the objective of parenting. I mean, that's the second huge thing. And I want to ask you tonight, just think in your own heart, what is your objective for parenting? You may feel at this stage, well, to survive it, right? I just want to survive parenting. That might be some of it, but, you know, what is your objective in parenting? Do you want to have obedient kids? Is that your objective? Do you want to have kids who can make it in this world and just do what they're supposed to do in this world? I think it's important to look at what the scripture says on what God's objective for parenting is. And so in that second, and it's still in that first verse, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You see, God requires us as parents to raise kids in his ways, not my own ways. It's not like my expectation of my kid, and this is what I want Bookie to be or whatever. This is not about that. This is about God's ways, his ways, and we have to raise them in God's ways. Deuteronomy 6 verse 5 to 9 says to us so clearly, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So this is a very important calling that God gives us as parents to the whole kid, body, soul, mind, strength, everything. God wants the kid to serve him. And it's a very similar calling to what God gave Abraham. We looked at Abraham this morning, but it's just the father of all believers. You know what God said to him in Genesis 18? He says of him, he says, I have known him, that's Abraham, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So God says, I have known Abraham in order that he may bring up the kids in my way. That's the reason. I've chosen Abraham that the generations that follow after him may be godly and serve God. And so, no matter what you may think, your kids don't ultimately belong to you. I know you think it's like your kids, but ultimately, your kids belong to God. It's like God is saying to you, I've given you these kids to raise for me. Be a good steward with what I give you. I give you them to bring them up to be godly people at the end of the day. And it's a very important calling like that. So, in his ways, as a good steward. So, I want to tell you, this you can write down. The principal objective of parenting is that your kids know the Lord, that they love the Lord, that they believe the Lord, and that they serve the Lord. That should be your overarching principle for parenting. Your principle should not be, I want my kid to do well, to make money, to be well in this world, to be anything. Your focus as a parent should be, I want a godly kid. Someone who knows God and who lives for God, because that's your calling from God. All these other things are peripheral. I mean, we looked at this morning, right? In Revelation, just what's coming and the things that's ahead. This time is limited. This earth is short. And then you can gain the whole world, but if you don't have your soul, if God doesn't have your soul, it means nothing. And it's exactly the same for your kid. As Jesus prayed, just think when Jesus prayed for the church. This is what he prayed in John 17, verse 3. He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so I want to tell you, at the end of the day, that's what matters. If your kid knows the Lord, if you brought your kid to understand who God is, to have that relationship with him, you know, then you've done your job as a parent. It doesn't matter how they do at school. It doesn't matter the rest of their life. What matters is if they are godly, if they know God. So the point of parenting is not to have a brilliant, well-adapted social kid who can be all they can be, because most parents, that's your goal in life. I want my kid, as long as he can get around with everyone, you know, people like him and he can do well. That's sort of the normal worldly way of looking at parenting. But it's completely opposite to what God wants. That's just not that important if you look at it eternally in that kind of perspective. To make money and to prosper. Neither is it to have a well-behaved, obedient kids. Moral kids. A lot of other parents are like, yo, I want my kids to be well-behaved. Especially when other people look at us, you know, our kids must just be... And the thing is, you can have a moral, well-behaved child who's still on his way to hell. And that's the problem. That's why it's so important that the main focus should be godliness, should be to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't help you if a moral, obedient child who everyone likes, but he's still on the way to hell. Matthew 16:26 says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, the main problem we deal with as parents, it's the same problem we deal with as people. It's sin. That's still the main issue. As parents, we just have a different flavor of it. We have a different perspective of it because God has a different plan with us. But the main issue in parenting is the same as the main issue in your personal life. It is sin. You know, David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, he said, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. And because when you receive this little beautiful baby into this world from the gift from God, this baby is born in sin with a sin nature. No matter how cute they may be, they are born with a sinful nature. They are born without any understanding of how the world works. They are born without any theology. You know, there's nothing like that in a child when he's born. And so you as the parent, you get to establish life for your kid. Just think about how important that is. Your kid is going to understand life the way that you tell him life works. And that's your main goal as a parent, especially like in those forming years. You tell your kid how life works. You're not going to give it up to him like, how do you feel today? What do you want to do? How do you feel life should go? It's not up to the kid. The kid knows nothing. We're going to talk about that much more next week. So the whole thing is you tell your kid how to live life. And determining on how your family is set up and your structure and how you serve the Lord is that foundation is going to be built into that kid at the young age. And that's going to be the foundation for the rest of his life, how he's going to relate to the Lord. It's very, very important. And so the first objective and the goal of parenting should be to lead your children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You want to get them born again. You want to get them saved. It's not something that we can do. And some parents are very anxious for that. And it's almost like, you know, sometimes they push it a bit and it's like almost like a false conversion because they are just trying to, I just want to tick, you know, I want to make sure my kid's fine. You know, people, because you love them, you want to make sure it's fine. But it's for God to change the heart. But it's for you to do your part. To love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, as Deuteronomy 6:5 says. Because, again, it's one thing to agree with these things as we sit here and we say, that sounds all good, you know, and I agree with it. It's another thing to go out and to do these things that God expects of us. Because they don't know anything about God. Like I say, they don't know anything about sin. It's our main thing as parents to teach them. And we don't teach, like I always say when we dedicate babies, we don't just teach them by our words, because our kids may listen to our words for a very short time, but they are mainly going to do the things we do. They're going to look at our examples, and that's the way that they are going to form their lives on the things that we do. Kids learn very easily. Oh, that's what dad says, but look at what dad does. And so there's a contradiction, and then it shows them there's not a real connection or not a real reality there. And we want to lead our kids to Christ. So that's important. The heart, again, is so important. Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Out of our heart comes everything, all the issues of life. And that's why we should keep our heart. It's about the heart of your child. Again, if your focus as a parent is on behavior, if you focus on all the behavioral kind of things, you will never ever get to deal with the real issue. The real issue is always the heart in sin before the Lord. That book by Ted Tripp is a very good book that you can definitely read. It's in our library if someone hasn't taken it out. It's on shepherding a child's heart. God wants us to come alongside to shepherd this child's heart. Not to make sure that, you know, he listens when he has to listen and be quiet when he has to be quiet. What happens if a child grows up morally like that without the heart change? They go to university or they get to high school and you lose them completely. They run away into the world. They see there's an attraction there. They run to that because the reality in the house is not the real thing. And you lose your kid in a big sense. You know, God's faithfulness is always there. But still, If you're focused on behavior, I want to tell you, you're fighting the wrong battle, and you'll find that you'll constantly be frustrated. Why is not my kid listening to me? He can't listen to you. He's got a sinful nature. You see, he has to be changed on the inside. My kid has got the same problem as me. Only now I've met the Lord Jesus, he's already started changing me, but your kid knows nothing of that kid. You have to teach him about sin. So true and lasting change can only happen if the heart changes, because when there's a heart change, then behavior follows. You see that with person getting saved. I've been amazed sometimes because people always try to work on the outside things. Yeah, that guy should stop drinking, you know, that guy should stop doing that. Those things are all behavioral stuff. It doesn't help you deal with the drink or the drugs or the... It doesn't help you deal with that. You must deal with the heart. If they meet the Lord Jesus Christ, all these things are going to start falling into place. Suddenly they're going to stop doing this, they're going to stop doing that, because the heart is the issue. And as parents, we must help our child understand his biggest problem is not outside of him. That's what the world says. Just love yourself, you know, just be, you must just deal with the stuff, and everything is sort of like from the outside. It's like when a kid gets hurt and you say, naughty chair. You know, it's not the chair's fault. It's not the chair's fault. Your kid must learn his biggest problem is himself inside. It's not outside of himself. That's one of the main things that he must learn, because he is a sinner and he must start dealing with that. Otherwise, you will never be saved. So the objective is the heart and a life change, because behavior choices and relationship will flow from those things. Then we get to the third point there, the labor of parenting. Look at verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. I mean, that sounds great, right? That sounds great, but notice that happiness follows after labor. It's not just everything is happy and great. There's labor involved in this. It's hard work. It's been well said that mother is a verb, right? It's hard work to be a good parent. It takes a lot from us. Parenting takes a tremendous lot of energy and time. And you know what? It takes you time. It takes my time. And there's a design in that. In your BK days, your before kids days, you know, you could just sit with your spouse, your husband or your wife. You could just drink a coffee, you know, sit there and you can relax and you can talk about all these things. You can read your Bible, you know, it's like... You've got so much time. I mean, you can go to Pick and Pay without an incident, right? You can just actually go and get some shopping done and come back and still have time left over. It's like, you know, it's almost like, wow, you know, what happened to those days? It just makes sense. All those things were so nice. It was a breeze. And sometimes if we look at it like this, it can feel like our kids have stolen our lives, because suddenly now you have a kid and like even a basic thing like going to Pick and Pay can be a nightmare, you know? I mean, I just went this weekend with my kid and I was just there as a dad with all the packets, and he's like, I gotta go. I'm like, no, you can't wanna go now. It's like, I wanna go now. I'm like, okay, you know, so it's like, it's just not that easy, you know, anymore. It used to be so easy. And because of that, if we let that thing take root in us, we can become irritated, we can become frustrated with our kids, and we can start looking at our kids as an issue because you're an obstacle in my life. Instead of, you're the blessing that God gave me, and that determines how you're going to act towards your kid. So we get disappointed also with ourselves, because now I get angry at my kid. And now you get angry at yourself, and the enemy is right there to help load this condemnation on you. Like, how can you feel like that? I mean, you must be such a big sinner. How can you be so angry at this kid? You know, and the enemy works this thing because we live with the illusion that parenting should be easy. Somehow, somewhere, someone passed a note around that said, you know, your life should be easy as a parent. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. I've given you this example so many times. Without struggle and trial, there will be no growth. God gives us all of this for a specific reason. It's hard work, you know, and we forget that God called us to be parents, not for a life of ease and convenience. It's hard work because, you know why? Because we're not simply just trying to change the outside of the child. We don't want a moral conforming kid. We want an inward heart change kid. And because of that, it takes a lot from us. So it's hard because, you know why? You need to be there. You can't teach them if you're not around. Being there inevitably means giving up some of your things. You might want to give up your conveniences, like enjoying shopping, you know, that kind of thing. You might even need to give up your work. You might even need to give up your dreams, your things, all the things in your life, because that's what self-sacrifice means. And I want to tell you, this is the basic call of a disciple of Jesus. What did Jesus say? Laying down your own life. In Luke 9:23, he says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And I want to tell you, at the end of the day, it's really a choice. It's hard, but it's a choice. You're either going to say, I'm going to choose myself because it's much nicer and much easier, or I'm going to choose the calling that God has given me as a parent. It's a choice that you got to make, and no one's going to force you to make that choice. You know, and you can say in your heart, you know, I know, but my kid has got such a great daycare mother or teacher or whatever, you know, maybe, but you know what? It's not her calling. It's not her responsibility. It's your calling and your responsibility. That's directly from God's heart. It's not someone else's responsibility. And I want to say this lovingly and sincerely because I know it is a hard thing. I understand that. But I want to tell you, moms, you need to be there with your kids, especially if they're young. You need to be there with your kid. A kid needs his mom above anything else. It's such an important thing, especially those first few years. It affects their whole life. And the thing is, I don't ask you to lay down your life according to Scripture for their comforts. You never want to lay down your life for your kids' comforts. That's not what it's about. It's about laying down your comforts to train them in God's way. Because you have to see the bigger picture. You are chosen by God in forming and shaping this kid for the kingdom, for his glory, and for the choices that he has to make one day. So I just think, don't let anything get in the way, especially if it's like finances, success, dreams, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be, I want to tell you, at the end of the day, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It is so important to be there for the kid that God has given you. And we know that much of our kids' sinful behavior comes from that selfish, self-centered, sinful heart. That's the issues we want to deal with. James 3 verse 14 to 16 says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And I want to tell you, it's exactly the same for us. It's hard work, not only because we need to be there, it's hard work because we are not only dealing with our child's sinfulness and issues of his heart, we are dealing with our own at the same time. That's what makes it hard. There are many things that comes out in you as a parent when you are busy parenting your kid that you don't like. Many things that God shows you about yourself, like, you know, like, yeah, I didn't really want to know that. God, I thought it was fine. God uses our kids to shape us just as much as he uses us to shape and form our kids' lives. Because he made it to fit together like that. He gave you all this. This whole thing is God ordained. You must understand that. And if you believe that this is God ordained, it will change the way you think about it because he loves us. He wants you to be free from self. I want to tell you what Paul Tripp said. He said, your children will step on your idols at the very moment that you want to worship them. This is such an amazing thing and an understanding of who we are. Parenting is hard because you get face to face with your idols through your kids. Every time that you want to do something for yourself that's an idol, you don't even realize it was an idol. You know, you come back after work, you just want to sit down for a moment on the couch. No. It doesn't happen that way because whatever that idol may be in your life, I want to tell you, God custom makes these things for you. He custom made your spouse. I mean, I remember my life before, you know. He custom makes that person for you that is different than you. First of all, they are going to be completely different than you. Why? Because God wants to form you and shape you and change you. If they were exactly like you, there would be no need for change. So first, you know, God sort of upsets your life by giving you this person. You love this person, but suddenly now you have this person in your life and now everything is different because it's about spiritual growth. Then God gives you these specific kids, you know. And you're like, where did they come from? Not from my part of the family, you know? Because they are just so completely different than you. But God desires it for a reason, because he wants to shape you and form you. And once you have that understanding, that it's going to be a difficult thing, because God wants to do something in you and your spouse, then you start get the real understanding. Because it's about spiritual growth in us and in our kids. It's hard, it takes time, and that's why we need to get a different perspective on parenting. The perspective is, it's a lifelong process. It's not a one-time event. It's not like you're going to have your child sit down and say, Butty, listen here. And you're going to have a chat, and he's going to say after the chat, Dad, I get it. I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I'm going to change my life. It doesn't happen like that. It's not one conversation. It's a lifelong process that you walk with this child that God has given you, and it starts from the beginning. But the point is there, he says, you shall be happy. It's hard work, it's labor, but the blessing comes with that labor. And if you don't invest, you can't expect to be happy, that blessing. It's hard in laying down these things for Jesus, but it brings blessing, and it blesses both us and our kids, not necessarily in our immediate circumstances, but it brings a spiritual blessing, a deeper blessing. That's what it's about. And so the next thing we want to talk about, number four, is the roles of parenting. Look there at verse 3. He says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. So both the husband and the wife have specific roles to play in parenting. But the important thing we have to understand from the beginning is both parents must be on the same page. That is essential in parenting. If parents aren't on the same page, I mean, your kids are going to mess you around big time, because kids play you off against one another. I mean, if you haven't noticed that yet, that's going to happen all the time. That's what kids do. No, but mom said this. No, but dad said this. And that's what they do the whole time. So parents must be of one mind, and they must speak from the same mouth. As Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2 verse 1, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord with one mind. And that's really what we should be like as parents, with that one mind. And for us to have the same one mind, we must be on the same page. If you and your wife are in different books, you know, you're not going to be on the same page. We must speak from the same mouth. We must talk about these things with one another. We must communicate what is important for us as parents. You must get the objective straight for you as a couple. Because it doesn't help dad says one thing, and then they go to mom, and mom says another thing. Then like, okay, you know, and they're going to choose the one that they prefer. The one that they like the most, you know. That's how kids work. Your kids are going to keep pressing you or playing you against one another. But I want to tell you, on that point, you are the parents. Don't allow them to do that. That's why it's so important to grab a hold of this little kid when God gives it to you from the beginning. It's a beautiful blessing, but you must have that understanding that your kid not only has no understanding of the world, he's got no rights. He's got none whatsoever when he's born. You see, we're going to talk about that too. Things change as they grow, because what eventually happens is the shift in authority and influence happens. In the beginning, the parent has all the authority. Your kid does how you tell him how life works. He doesn't get a choice. It's very important for us to understand that we must speak from the same mouth, and we must tell our kids how life works from the beginning, because you are the parents. You are called to be your child's parent, not his buddy. He's going to have many buddies in his life. Many buddies. That's not your calling. Your calling is not be your friend. Your calling is very specific, and you have a specific authority from God to be the parent of that child. Your child, he has no say. Your kid should not be telling you what he wants to eat, what he wants to drink, where he wants to go, if he wants to go to bed or not. He should have absolutely no say. And I want to tell you, that's the biblical way. When a kid is young, because what happens if your kid is young, you tell him how life works. And as he grows older, I'm not talking about two or three. I'm talking about, you know, when maybe he starts to go to school. And little by little, he gets more freedom and he gets to make more choices by himself. But by the time he's a teenager, you can trust him. And you can say, you know what? Now you have large freedom. What most parents do is they give it over to their kids. How do you feel today? Do you want to wear this? Do you want to eat this? No, okay. Let's get something else. What do you want to do? And that's what they do with their kids. Then the kids get to teenagers, and now suddenly they want to take authority. No, you can't do that. No, you have to stay in. Now they try to. You cannot work like that. It's one of those things, if you cross that barrier, it's very, very hard to come back. So I want to tell you, if your kid is under 7, you have to retake that authority. Don't allow your kids to tell you anything what they want to do. You tell them how life works. It's not like he's an adult person that you have to have this adult conversation, respect for him. Like, you know, do you that thing, you know? No, no. My kid, I mean, my kid, Ben, is 11. And if there's a problem, I say to him, listen, I'm going to take that away. I'm not going to say, how do you feel about it? I'm just like, I'm the authority in this house that God has given me. And it's going to be absolute yes to understand. Because the one thing that you must teach your kids is obedience. You must teach your kids to obey God. It's important not to be the buddy, but to be the parent. And it's hard. It's not fun to be the parent, but that's your calling. You are the only person on this earth, you and your spouse, who can do that job to be the parent for the child. Don't allow your kids to walk over you. They don't have that authority. God has given you complete authority over the house. They should not have a say in the things that they want to do when they're young, because then you're gonna create chaos for yourself later on in life. When they grow older, man, it's going to be a hard life if they're already telling you what to do when they are young. And it says there, the point is your wife shall be a fruitful vine. The fruitfulness is the point. You see, parents must give biblical instruction to their kids. It's not just about laying down the rules. Kids, here's how it works. I want to hear one click kind of thing. No, it's not about laying down rules and regulations for them to follow your rules and regulations. It must be biblical instruction because it's about the heart. Like I just said, the main point is obedience. That's the one thing you want to teach your kids is how to be obedient. If your child is not obedient to you, he is not obedient to God. The scripture is very clear about that. Exodus 20, the fifth commandment, Ephesians 6, verse 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you. That's for the kids, that you may live long on the earth. If you want to honor God so it may go well with you. Your child is not obeying you. He is not obeying God. We're going to look much more at that next week in the discipline study. So these are the basic foundational things. You know, it's important that your kids are trained, and it's important that they get it right as soon as possible. Your kid's going to deal his whole life with teachers, with other people, where they're going to have to respect authority if they can't do it in your house. And it's amazing to me sometimes our parents just look over their kids. They're just like, whew. They don't see the things that their kids are doing. They're like, oh, my kid's perfect. Whatever. Maybe they don't think it, but they just look over the problems of their kids. Authority is a huge thing. They're going to, every area of life, they're going to clash with the people that they're going to deal with if they don't learn to respect authority. And the bottom line is, all authority has been given by God. So if your child can't obey you, he's not obeying God, and he's in sin in that. That's the basic foundational. He also says, your wife shall be fruitful. Now, husbands, for your wife to be fruitful, you must be a biblical man. You must be a biblical man. You can't expect your wife to be fruitful. It's like Adam leaving his wife alone to go check out the fruit that she's not supposed to eat. You must be there. You must take lead of your house. You must lead your house as a biblical man. The husband or the father is the primary responsible for training the children. It says there, your labor. It speaks about the man. Your labor, and then your wife will be fruitful. You have to work hard. Deuteronomy 6 verse 6 and 7 says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. And that's mainly to fathers. First of all, he's saying this to the fathers. Fathers, whatever you're doing, the whole time you should be busy training your kids in godliness. The whole time. The role of the man, he's called as the priest, the provider, and the trainer in the home. That's the calling of the husband. And I want to tell you, oftentimes things don't work because the husband sort of just gives it over to the wife. I mean, even if some of you have done the growing kids God's way, whatever. That thing can only work if the father's in on it. If the husband is strong, he says to you, don't go. You know, that kid's crying. Like, let him cry, it's fine. No, I can't. Like, let him cry. If the father's not involved, you know, it's not going to work. It's simply not going to work. You need to be both on the same page. The father needs to be strong because he is made like that. That's the role of the man. Whenever a home has a husband and a father who's an active, strong, godly leader in his responsibility before the Lord, things work well. Things work well because it's the way God made it. But fathers, also, don't be difficult. There's a fine line. Fathers can easily be difficult on their kids. The scripture says in Ephesians 6:4, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. See, that's a calling on fathers. The fathers must train their kids and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Before we look at provoking the kids, we look first at the bring them up. Dad, It's your responsibility to be an example to your kids. You know what? Your kids, especially your boys, are going to act one day exactly like you act at home. The way that you treat your wife, the way that you treat other people, the way that you do these things, your kid's going to be exactly like that one day. It's your responsibility to be an example. It's your responsibility to nourish them to maturity in life and godliness. You know what? Once again, we need to spend time with them. You can't expect that relationship to work, those things to happen, if you don't invest in your kid's life. The word for training, the word for training here is the word for chastening. We'll look at that next week. As a child goes up, like I say, your authority starts going down in his life and your influence are supposed to be going up. That's where those two things meet. Because if your kid is born, a newborn, you tell him how life works. He's got no authority. You've got all the say in his life. And then it starts changing slightly as they start going to school. Now they have some things that they can decide over. And slowly these things change. And as they grow older, now you're starting to influence their life. Not telling them how to do things anymore, because now you've already told them, the foundation is already established. If you do it the other way around, that you leave them to decide for themselves, you're never ever going to be able to influence them later on. That's just how God made it to work. The important thing, especially for fathers, before you can discipline your child, you need to be disciplined yourself. You need to be. In these things that's important, before God, you have to first control yourself. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, the same thing. Do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Don't discourage your kids. That means don't put unrealistic expectations on your kids. Fathers are prone to do that. You know, one day Booty's going to play for the Springboks, or one day you are going to be a doctor, or one day, and you put that expectation on your kid, and when they don't grow up to be what you thought they should be, there can be a disappointment in your heart, and that can seriously affect your kid very, very badly. Don't put unrealistic demands and expectations on your kid. Because once again, what does God want my kid to be? Not what is my plan for my kid's life. I mean, I've learned this very early on. My kids are not anything like I was thinking they are going to be like. It's something that God has to teach you. God, what do you want for my kid? Well, God wants godliness, first of all. Your children will become discouraged if they cannot live up to your unrealistic expectations. If you expect something of them that God didn't make them to be. 1 Timothy 3 verse 4 to 5 says, one who rules his own house well. It speaks about, you know, the deacons. It speaks about a godly man. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? That is so important for us in all areas of life. A man must be able to have his own house in order. That's the first realm of your responsibility. The father is the manager, and he must manage his family and see that his kids obey and with respect. And the thing is, fathers, your kids will see. They will look at your life. They will see how you love God, first of all. They're going to see if you love God. They're going to see if you read the Bible. They're going to see if you pray. They're going to watch you. You're going to be the major influence in their life. They're going to see how you love their mom, how you treat their mom. They're going to look at you, and that is going to influence the way that they're going to live in the future. They want to see you take the lead, not as a boss, but as a servant. Servant leadership is what's modeled for us in the scripture. And so fathers should model that. You should not just, okay, this is my life, and I come home and I kick off my shoes or whatever. You should be involved as a leader, but as a servant leader. Serving is the way God gave us to be leaders. Your kid needs to see that you are there. You need to be there for your kids. And your kids need to see that you discipline them. And they must understand why you discipline them. Again, we'll get to that next week. Your wife, on the other hand, it says your wife in the very heart of your house. That's the role of the wife, the mom. That's God's plan. I'm not talking about barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. That's not the picture that I'm talking about here. Don't misunderstand me at all. Don't freak out. But a mom is the heart of the house. That's just a fact. God didn't make kids to grow up with one parent or the other parent. And my heart goes out to single parents who don't have a spouse for whatever reason. It's hard. It's very hard, but it's not God's plan. That's not God's ideal for us. His ideal is that we both do the part. And the mom is like the heart in the home. Just like God made the husband tough for discipline, he made the wife more emotional and loving in nurturing. The kid needs that, especially the young kid. When they grow up, that's the thing they need the most, is the nurturing. Then the time's going to come where they need to learn all these other things. And it's amazing how God put them together, the strong father and the mom, you know, the loving mom, unconditional love. And it's just like those things are what forms a child to make him a whole child. If one of those things are missing in a child's life, you know, it's going to affect him severely in his life. Genesis 2:18 says, "It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." God's like, well, you can't do this alone. None of us can do it. Not the wife can do it alone, nor the husband can do it alone. There are certain things that only a father can speak into a child's life. There are certain things only a mom can speak into a child's life. And so it's not good that man should be alone, because God just, he made it like that. And that's why he made the wife to come alongside the calling of the husband to be his helper in that. This is God's design for family. And I know it's hard, especially in our culture today. You know, but I want to tell you, it's God's plan. And Satan has used many lies. I mean, the culture we live in is saturated by things like feminism. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell to break up a society, to destroy the family, and to destroy the home. Because the family is God's model. And the enemy will come against that model with anything that he's got. That's why he attacks it. And so, you know, we can, as people, bring our excuses and our reasons, and some of it may be good. You know, this is my reason, this is my excuse, whether it's, you know, financial or circumstantial or personal, whatever it may be. It may be a good reason, maybe a bad reason, but it still doesn't change God's design. This is still the way that God designed to work. So God gave you this calling and a specific role and responsibility and the specific objective for parenting, and he knows it's hard. And it's supposed to be hard, because if it was not hard, there would be no chance for growth. It has to be hard for you to learn anything by it. That's how God made it to be. And you can disagree, you know, even tonight. You can ignore this, what I'm telling you, because it's not a sin. It's not like you're going to walk out here and I'm going to, hey, you know. This is not, it's got nothing to do with me. This is not a sin. So if you choose to ignore this, it's your choice, but then you can't expect the blessing. Because we talk about here about God's blessing, the fruitfulness. Because what happens, a lot of people don't do this. They farm out their kids, and the mom is not there. And then, after a few years, the kid's got all these problems. Why does my kid have all these problems? Suddenly now you need to see psychiatrists and doctors and all kinds of things, where if the mom was just in the house with the kid and the dad was doing his part, there would never be that issue. But it's always outside. You know, because we don't like to look at ourselves and find the fault in ourselves. And so it's always outside. Why does my kid have this problem? Now I must go and do some things to sort out my kid. Meantime, the kid was never the problem. It's because the family didn't function the way that it was supposed to function. And I understand, because I've learned myself. It's a selfish thing. I mean, like I said, I know what it was like. If I think back in my life, when was the greatest time that I ever had? You know, it was the time when I was traveling by myself alone overseas. I'll just tell you. I mean, I'm being blatantly honest. I had such a great time because I could do whatever I want whenever I wanted. It was a selfish, completely selfish lifestyle. You know what? My spiritual growth was very limited during that time because I was just doing what I enjoyed. So God gave me a wife. And it was a... It was the best, let me tell you, it was a shock to my system. It was a shock to my system, because here's a lady that's completely different from anything that I am. But you know what? God gave me my wife because he loves me. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. I would not be growing. I would not be where I'm supposed to be if God didn't give me her. And so just when I sort of got used to her, then I got a kid. Right? And every time, it's like, and now I've got three at this stage, and every time when I just think like, you know, I'm going to try and cope with this, you know, because it's just, it grates against your selfishness. Because at the bottom of the day, it's about selfishness. I mean, we love our comforts, we love the things, we don't really want to grow. Growth is hard, and we don't like it. But God, like I say, he tailor-made those kids, and he tailor-made your spouse for you. That's why I totally believe that if you are a guy who likes cleanliness, God will give you dirty kids. I tell you, he will do that. Because if your kids were just like you, there'd be no growth. If you're a parent who likes peace and quiet, he's going to give you noisy kids. And I just want to tell you that beforehand. Your kids are going to be so different than you because they're going to be pushing all those buttons because you need to grow spiritually. That's what it's about. That's what marriage is about. That's what parenting is about. It's not about me enjoying my life. It's about me growing in godliness, me growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've experienced this firsthand. I mean, I struggle in life, but God is growing me, and I rejoice in that. I would not change any of this because I know Jesus did it because he loves me, because he truly, truly loves me. So mom, on your side, your kids should see you love Jesus, first of all. Your kids should see their mom loves Jesus. Your kids should see you love their dad and help their dad. That's part of what they should see. They should see you love them unconditionally. Just give them unconditional. That's what their mom is for. You know, come, let me kiss that little, you know. Dads don't do that. Dads are just like, why did you do that? You know, how could you, weren't you looking where you were going kind of thing, you know? And we've got different giftings for different reasons, and the mom is there specifically for that. Mom, your kids should see you pray. They should see you pray for them. They should see you pray for their father. They should see you pray for people. That's what your kids should see in your life. I want to tell you, motherhood is not a loss. Even though you lose money, time, and sleep, and all those things, it's a joyful work unto the Lord. That's what it is. It's a joyful work unto the Lord. So mom, God's not going to call you, I want to tell you this clearly, on accountability on if you did all these great things in the world. God's going to call you, did you love and serve your husband and your kids? One day when you stand before God, that's what God's going to call you to accountability before. How did you do those things that was your calling in life? The last thing we want to look at quickly is the heritage of parenting, number 5. Verse 4 there says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So, God's plan with all of this is to bless you and to give you a heritage. Heritage is a wonderful thing. I don't know if you ever spend time thinking about that, but that's what God wants for you. Psalm 127, the previous Psalm, verse 3 to 5 says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb's reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gates. The thing is, as parents, we are to set godly examples for our kids and to leave a legacy of godliness behind us, that the generations to come will be blessed. We spoke about the other night, our kids were asking us some of these questions, and we said, you know what? It's because we had godly parents and godly grandparents who prayed for us, who lived examples. We were blessed by inheriting that. That's what we want to leave for our kids, is the godly inheritance, the godly heritage, and a legacy. That brings glory to God. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. That is an important verse in many ways. We'll look at that verse again next week. But part of that is, if you train up the child, you'll leave a legacy, because the idea is he will not get away from it. That will be his legacy. That's the way that he grew up. And you can say what you want to. At the end of the day, your kid's going to be very similar to what you are. No matter what you say, no matter what you teach, when he's on his own one day, he's going to, what did dad do? Oh, yeah, he did it like that. He's going to be exactly what you, how did mom do this? Your kids are going to be like you. And so that's part of the heritage. Your kids will understand life. They will know God. They will become what you model for them. And so I want you to understand that the two of you are the prime examples in your kids' life. The main things that they're going to look at the whole time. And again, if they are young, that example is great. Your kids get to a bit older age and they're like, oh, my dad's not so cool. That guy's really cool, you know. In the beginning, your parents are everything to you. They are what you look up to. You are the prime examples. Also, examples, not just in winning. Your kids see you winning all the time, they're not learning anything. Your kids need to see you handle losing. Your kids need to see you handle your sin, your mistakes. If you're not a parent who can say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I said that to you, and that was completely wrong, and I now apologize to you because I was wrong before God. You need to admit when you are wrong. You need to go to your kids and say, kids, I know I said that, but let me tell you, I'm sorry I said that because that was wrong. That was not what God wanted of me. I was in sin. Your kids need to see that you are a human being that can fail and that you actually sin in the same way. Because you need to show them their heart. You need to show them how you relate to God. That's such an important thing. Because at the end of the day, it's all about God's glory. So it's not just about winning. It's about failure to, of trusting God as you grieve about your own sin. And yes, you know what? Parenting is more than you can handle. It's more than I can handle. But our sufficiency is in Jesus Christ. That's the good thing. God says, I'm going to put this thing on you, and it might be overwhelming at some times. But let me tell you, Jesus is there every step of the way. And that's what the Christian life is. There's full dependence upon the Lord. Lord, I can't do this. I'm not up to this. I don't know how to do it. And the Lord says, you know what? My grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to give you those things when you need it. And what happens is it brings you close to God. Ultimately, that's what it's about. Any trial in your life, not just parenting, but any trial in life is a thing God wants to bring you closer to Him. Because when you realize you need the Lord, you're going to be on your knees and you're going to start seeking Him in that relationship and you're going to start growing ultimately. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says to us clearly, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. This is so important in parenting. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. It's a promise. If you trust God, not yourself, not your logic, not your income, not whatever. If you trust God, you know, God says He shall direct your paths. And you have before you, I want to tell you tonight, an awesome calling and an awesome responsibility. Yes, hard labor. But you know what? Great big blessings. Big blessings. He says there in Psalm 78 verse 4, we will not hide them from our children, telling them the generation to come, their praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. It's a godly heritage that we want to leave behind. Verse 5 there says, the Lord bless you. And that is for each one of you personally. The Lord wants to bless you. He cannot bless you if you want to do your things your way. He says, may you see your children's children. And then he ends with peace. Yes, peace to Jerusalem. But still, it's about the peace. Parenting, what we want to do, parenting by the book. Because we want to look at God's word. And so understanding your calling, your responsibility, and your objectives, I think those are the main things that's going to shift your whole understanding of parenting. God knows, this is not a mistake, God knows that He gave me this calling. He ordained it to be like that, that I would be in that family with these kids. And He gave me a responsibility, and He gave me an objective. I want you to raise these kids to be godly. That changes how we're going to react towards our kids. And at the end of the day, like I say, it should give glory to Jesus. It should give glory to Jesus that echoes in eternity that heritage. I want to end with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. It's not up to us. You don't have to say, well, I'm a strong parent. I'm going to walk out here. I'm going to do it. No, you can't. God's going to be the one who's going to give you the strength. So we need to trust Him.